How's everybody this morning? Excellent, excellent. I want to welcome you to our service this morning. Welcome our live stream audience. Glad you are worshiping with us. If y'all wonder, I'm pointing at the camera. Okay, that's what I'm doing. You know, this week, if it's missed your attention, this is Thanksgiving week, right? Has everybody got a turkey this year? I got our turkey guy. I ordered two months ago. I ordered 350 turkeys. He called me Thursday and he said, oh man, I thought, here we go. But it's just gonna have to get a little bit larger turkeys. They're still gonna have turkeys, but they didn't have the size we normally get. So with it being Thanksgiving week, listen to this word from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord. I want to stop there. So that's the command to us to give thanks to Him. And there's a reason that we are to give thanks to Him. Listen to the rest of it. For He is good. Give thanks to Him because He's good. And because His love endures forever. Did you know that? Forever means forever. It means under any circumstances, no matter if we've messed up, no matter what's in our past or in our present, He loves us. His love endures forever, and He is good. So we give thanks to Him. So let's pray as we worship. Father, You are so good. Truth be told, God, we don't deserve Your love. But You've proven Your love through Jesus. We were on His mind as He went to the cross. And we give thanks for that. That seems like such a hollow thing to say, to give thanks to Him. But Father, we do. That's all we know to do, is just return our thanks to You and our worship to You. So may You send Your Holy Spirit in this place. Surprise us this day, oh God. We may have come just thinking, oh, it's just another Sunday, another church service. Surprise us, inspire us, change us, transform us, embrace us, love us. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Rise if you are able as we worship.
Okay, here we go. This morning, we're going to fight the good fight. We're going to fight the good fight with our praise. We all got something we need to fight for. We're not going to lay down and be steamrolled. We're going to fight for it and raise the roof with praise. Amen? Everybody with me? I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a that good? I'm gonna sing of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, He is alive. I praise the lost your hold on me. sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemy,
sing a little louder.
Louder than the armory,
sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody,
sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Oh, sing a little louder.
In humble adoration.
Well, kids, it's time for the children's sermon. Come on down.
Everybody have a good week? Yeah. You were sick? Okay. Are you better?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. You just throw up. Okay. Well, all right. See, parents, they tell everything. So, okay, so let's talk about this week. Everybody have a good week so far? Okay. Are y'all ready for next week? What is next week? Right there, Cade. It's Thanksgiving. Oh, how many of you enjoy Thanksgiving? You love turkey. All right. You do. Okay. So you'll have turkey. What? It's going to be on your birthday next year? Okay. So are you going to eat turkey and dressing and maybe some pumpkin pie and some pecan pie? And a uh-huh. And how about some other really good foods? Hey, Ollie. Yep. Okay, sit right back there, okay? All right? So, and maybe spend some time with some family and friends and just have a really good time and just being together and celebrating. And Thanksgiving is always a great time for us to remember to be thankful. Are you thankful all the time? No? Okay. Now, sometimes we forget to be thankful. Yeah, sometimes we forget to be thankful, right? But Thanksgiving is a good time for us to remember because it says Thanksgiving, right? So we need to give thanks. Do you know in God's Word, the Bible, God tells us that we are to give thanks. He tells us 139 times to remind us that we need to be thankful. Is that a lot of times to be reminded of something? That is a lot. 139 times he says, give thanks. So we want to be thankful. And not just on Thanksgiving. Do we need to be thankful today? Yes. Tomorrow? Every day. We need to be thankful. That's right. So this morning, I want y'all to do something for me. I want y'all to stand up, and I want y'all to line up right here. Go that way. Get in line right here, Josiah. You'll be my first one. Okay. And you're going to get to tell me in the microphone one thing that you are most thankful for. Can y'all do that for me? Okay, are you ready? And then when you get done, come sit over there by Miss Teresa, okay? So are you ready? So what are you thankful for?
Thankful for is her kind, my friend.
Okay, very good. I'm thankful for my watch because my mom and dad buy it.
Okay. What are you thankful for?
My mom.
Okay, very good. Okay, sit down right there. Okay. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my dad and my family.
Okay. Okay. What are you thankful for?
A race car and a monster truck, a red one.
Okay. All right. All right. Go sit down over there. Okay. Come here, Elizabeth. What are you thankful for?
Thank you for my mom and my daddy.
Okay. All right. Wyatt, what are you thankful for? Come here.
I'm my mom.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Cade, what are you thankful for?
My family and YY.
Okay. All right. Come here, Amara. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for Christmas.
Okay. Very good. All right. Okay. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for Jesus.
All right. Amen. All right. Olivia.
Freedom.
Freedom. All right.
Family.
Family.
My friends.
Wait, come here, Grayson. Say it again.
My friends.
Your friends. All right. Come here, Sutton.
School.
School. All right.
The world.
The world?
My family and Jay.
I'm thankful for my best friend, EJ.
EJ, okay.
Family.
Family. Okay, family. Want to make sure? No. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah. I'm up for Jesus.
For Jesus. Thank you, Daniel. Well, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. Do you think we will ever run out of things to be thankful for? No, because we can be thankful for everything. We can be thankful for our family, our friends, for the weather, for church, for you name it. We can be thankful for you. You know? Yeah, for God, that's right. So we can be thankful. So on Thursday, not just on Thursday, but every day, let's just take a few minutes and say thank you to God for all the many blessings. And you can say one thing just like we did today, or you can say thank you for many things, but just remember to say thank you God for the many blessings that you have given us. And it says in Psalms 107:1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Is God good to us? Are you thankful that God is good to us? Okay, everybody turn around and say Happy Thanksgiving really loud. All right, well, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for these boys and girls that are here today, and we thank you for their families. And I thank you that as we have come together today, that we can worship you and that we can celebrate your great love for us, Lord. We just ask for your blessings on us and just ask for your direction in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go this way.
Well, that was precious. It was precious. Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning. Welcome again, our online community. If you want to register your attendance with us, that would be helpful. You can do that through our app. Wanted to remind you that tomorrow is the last day for shoebox collection, and Tuesday is Turkey Tuesday. And if you want to help distribute those, you can meet us at the Carver neighborhood at 4 p.m. That's at North 8th and Carver. And you can also continue to help us purchase those turkeys. Our church office will be closed from Wednesday through the end of the week. And let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. Before I pray, I want to share a story out of 2 Kings, chapter 19. Hezekiah is the king of the nation of Judah, and the Assyrian army has come up against Jerusalem. They've surrounded that. They're laying siege against that, which means that they're going to cut off all food and water supply to that city and to try to starve the people to the point where they can't defend themselves. And they've done this to a number of cities in that area. They did that to in Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. And they led a lot of those people back to Assyria. And it was a brutal army, a brutal people. And they would, tradition says, they would tie their hands behind their backs. They would take hooks and they would put them either in their lip or their nose. They would make them walk as they led them on horseback back to Assyria, brutal people. And so they come up against the city of Jerusalem, and two of the leaders go out to talk to the leader of that army, and he tells them, he said, look, nobody's been able to stop us, and we're going to do the same thing to your community that we did to the rest of these communities, and your God can't stop us. And so they write that down, they take it back, they give it to Hezekiah. And I love what Hezekiah does. I'm going to pick it up in 14, verse 14, 2 Kings 19. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. I just love that picture. I'm going to present this to you, God. I don't know what his posture was. I don't know if he was on his face before God. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, between the cherubim, you alone are God, over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. And then he goes to say, you know, God, what they've said about the way they've treated other nations and lands is true. God, I acknowledge that. But now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. And then scripture goes on to say, that night as the Assyrian army slept, an angel passed over that army. The men woke up and 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were dead. Army packed up and went back home. How big is our God, church? He can do anything. So this morning, I want you, maybe if you've got an issue in your life, maybe a small issue, maybe a big issue, maybe it's an issue where it seems like the facts are against any kind of hope whatsoever. I want you just to maybe close your eyes and symbolically, as Hezekiah did, lay that before the Lord. Stretch it out before him. Present it to him. And then just begin to pray into that situation. So if you would do that, take a minute or two to do that, and then I'll close this in prayer. Father, as we present our petitions to you, Lord, would you move on our behalf for your glory? You know, Hezekiah wasn't a selfish man. He wanted you to move so that the people would know that you are the God of the heavens and God of the earth. Lord, as we present our petitions to you this morning, Lord, we unselfishly ask that you do something so you will receive the glory for that. Father, I lift up those people that may feel like their situation is hopeless. Father, I'm grateful that you always have the last word. And so, Father, if they feel hopeless this morning, I pray that hope rise up inside of them. Lord, the deck may be stacked against them, but I pray that hope rise up inside of them. And I pray for incredible encouragement, Lord, as they continue to cry out to you in regard to their situation. Father, would you move in just such a way this morning that we can, maybe even tangibly, we can just sense your presence, sense your goodness here in this room. Father, we all need a touch from you. We may not know that, but we all need a touch from you. So do something supernatural in our midst. I just ask, God, that you touch bodies, heal bodies for your glory this morning. Pray for joy to stir and break out in people who have no joy this morning, or they have had joy but they've lost it. I pray that it be returned, that they recapture that joy. Father, like Hezekiah, there's no one else we can pray to but you. There's no one we can petition besides you. And Father, we trust you and we love you. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for being in your house with your people. And Lord, with one voice, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will go ahead and collect our offering at this time. You can bring yours forward, or you can give electronically. God bless.
Fighting for someone else with my praise and my prayer. And, you know, Billy and Jeff and I, we don't call each other during the week and say, okay, Jeff, you're preaching about this, and so I'm going to talk about this. And then, Billy, you're going to do this, and so I'm going to sing this song. But we don't do that. We don't have those conversations. So I think it's special this Sunday morning because, you know, we started out with thankfulness. And then we sing songs of battle because we're fighting for something. And there's a lot of times that I'm asking God for something and he'll do it and I'll forget to say thank you. And it'll be 30 minutes a day, and I'll remember that I didn't even thank him when I got it. So as we're fighting our battles this morning in praise, say thank you now. Thank him now for something that you can't see. Believe by faith that God's going to do it. You know, this song we're going to sing, it says you're perfect in all your ways. So, Father, these things that we ask, we trust you. We trust you that you'll answer them perfectly. As we sing, we'll leave it here. Leave it at your altar. And trust that you're going to win these battles. You demonstrated through Hezekiah all these scriptures that are flowing together this morning in unity, all these ideas and all these songs. There's something powerful here this morning, and it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways to us. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect.
Close your eyes for just a second. As we sing that little chorus we sing most Sundays, is that really your heart's desire? For the Holy Spirit to come? Just in your own heart, in your own mind, invite Him right now. To not just come and fill this space, but to fill us. Heal what needs healing in us. To stir what needs stirring in us. Come, Holy Spirit. You are welcome. Church. Is that our desire this morning? If you are our guests this morning, we are thrilled that you're here. We love visitors. We hope that you will feel like more than a visitor, but that you will be our guest. And we hope that you feel led to come back and worship with us again and to plug into our church family. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe. It says guests, and would love to for you to fill that out. You're certainly not obligated to do that, but I would love to meet you. I'll be down at this end of the foyer after the service is over and would love to meet you. We'll talk more about it, but man, I want to say, first of all, let me, she's trying to fly under the radar, but you don't fly under the radar very good back there, Felicia. Felicia Hopkins, wave your hand back there. This is Felicia, our district superintendent, is worshiping with us today. We're glad you're here, Felicia. You know, I'll say this in front of her and you guys. It is a blessing to be your pastor. You guys are an awesome church. I tell people we're not a perfect church, but we really are a loving and awesome church. And so I just appreciate you very much. Thank you for letting me come back another year. Yeah. Woohoo! All right. Felicia does take bribes, I've been told that. So if anybody has some extra cash, she's back there in the back. Luke 18 is where we are today. If you will turn with me to Luke 18. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. I want to say this. Jesus is going to tell this parable, and we're going to read it in just a moment. But I want you to look for the contrast in the two people that he is describing in this passage. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Man, aren't you glad that maybe he wasn't talking to us? I mean, hopefully he's not talking to us. To those people, he told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Don't you love that? He's praying about himself. God, I thank you, and I just want you to picture it. God, I thank you that I'm not like all these other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast, and then he goes over his list of accomplishments. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, Jesus says, rather than the other, went home justified before God, meaning that it's just as if he never had sinned. He was washed white as snow. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. You have promised to be where two or more are gathered in your name. We're here, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit. No one wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. Convict our hearts, O Lord. Change us. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said earlier, we all know this is Thanksgiving week. And today's message is the enemy of thankfulness. The enemy of thankfulness. Did you know that there is an enemy to thankfulness? We'll talk about that a little bit. I'm going to dive right in. The first point I want us to make, setting up the whole sermon. The enemy of thankfulness is self-centeredness. The enemy of thankfulness is self-centeredness. I was reading this, doing a little, net surfing, and I ran across this little band that had, they were pretty popular in the 60s, and I don't know if probably hadn't heard of them, but this little band, I think they went by, let me get their name. The Beatles. Has anybody heard of the Beatles besides, I had to look that up. But they had two members that wrote most of their songs, John Lennon and Paul McCartney. wrote most of their songs. And back when they were producing these hit songs, the record label had to come up with how they were going to label the credits for these songs. And they came up with Lennon/McCartney. Now, and this worked for over 40 years. And it's interesting, around 2002, I don't know, what year was John Lennon killed? Come on, some of you Beatles experts know that. A while back. Several years after John Lennon had been killed, been shot and killed, Paul McCartney was putting out some, re-releasing some of these songs, and he wanted them to change the credit to McCartney/Lennon because he felt like he had written some of these songs, contributed more. Isn't it, you know, I think about that, I think, man, these guys, you know, they had fame, they had money, they had prestige, all of these things going for them, but what was important was whose name came first on the credit. The enemy, church, I just really believe, the enemy to thankfulness is self-centeredness. When we begin to focus on ourself, this passage we read today, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Who do you think his focus is on? And so it's like, hey, I got my act together. I'm giving all, I'm worshiping so much, and I'm giving all this money to the church and all this stuff, and I fast twice a week, and look at all these other sinners out here. You think he was thankful for anything he had? Now notice, this should be an indictment to us. It should at least be a challenge to us. This was a church leader. This was the religious leader. Jesus was holding up as an example of not how to do it, of how not to do it. Okay, I was thinking about Jesus' time in the desert. It struck me this morning that how did the enemy come against him? He wanted Jesus to shift his kingdom focus, what he was getting ready to start his ministry, and we all know that ultimately was fulfilled through the cross and the empty tomb, and so he's starting, he's launching this ministry, and how does the enemy attack him? Through his physical needs, hey, aren't you hungry, Jesus? Through his pride? Through his self-centeredness? Don't you want all these things that I can provide for you? And Jesus, as we know, he resisted them all. The enemy to thankfulness is self-centeredness. I've got this goofy little cartoon I ran across. Y'all like my cartoons on my email? Yeah. Narcissist therapy. I don't need your help. I just enjoy hearing me talk about myself for an hour. So, and that's, unfortunately, that's true for some of us. Jesus said, if anyone should come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So there's this Jesus, everything about Jesus is about selflessness rather than selfishness. I was thinking through the things that me and the people I've been in contact with over the years, the sin that we struggle with. I was thinking about the root of, I mean, just if you could have a broad stroke of the root of the sins that we struggle with, and I believe they are all, and I'm using that word very specifically, you may correct me, but I think our sin is all rooted in the fleshly desire of self-centeredness. Something that we desire, we're desiring our way above God's way. I believe that is at the heart of our self-centeredness, is at the heart of our sin. Jesus taught us to pray, and we said it just a few moments ago. God, your kingdom come, your will be done. So I think even that line of the Lord's Prayer reminds us that we can become self-absorbed, self-centered, and want our way above God's way. And Jesus said, no, you want to seek God's way. You want to seek His kingdom and His will. I was thinking through, and this is, I mean, this is by no means an all-inclusive list, but I was thinking through the damage that self-centeredness can do to us, and I say us very specifically. Self-centeredness is devastating to relationships. See it all the time. To families. I mean, I know sometimes, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, your family gets together and sometimes you just grin and bear it and get through it. Yes? Is this on? Anybody else ever struggle with that? You're just getting through. A lot of families aren't like that, but sometimes if there's a dose of self-centeredness, it can devastate a family. Marriages. I talked to a lot of couples. Cheryl and I in our early years struggled with this, primarily me. Self-centeredness in marriages. When I talk to couples, it's so common. He does this, she doesn't do this. I mean, it's like my needs aren't being met and they're failing. And man, that's devastating to a marriage. Work environments. How come so-and-so got the bigger desk than I did? How come so-and-so's office is bigger than mine? How come so-and-so got that promotion? How come so-and-so gets more money than I do? Self-centeredness is a devastating, have I made that point? It's a devastating thing. It can devastate a church. Now, I did this in the early service. I want to make sure y'all get this. Everybody take your right hand. Not going to take a pledge. Take your right hand. Now, pat yourself on the back. I tell people, we're not a perfect church, but we're really a good church. And one of the things that blesses me is in my time here, it's my several years as your pastor, I have never gone to a committee meeting that got ugly. Not once. That's rare. Felicia, is that rare?
Rare.
We had, and several years ago, we owned the building down the street, which is now Wiley Christian Church, and we sold that building. I think we sold it for $350,000 about 15 years ago. And trying to decide what to do with $350,000 can just separate a church, can divide a church. Do you know, our board named out four things that some of y'all were on the committee. We named out four things, I think it was, that said, we think we should do this. One of them was, first one was retire debt, which we are debt-free, thank God. Retire debt and do it, boom, 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 all these things. We brought it to the whole church for a vote. Unanimous. Unanimous. And the DS at the time, I said, how many times you ever seen a church vote for $350,000, what to do with it, and have a unanimous vote? So, but self-centeredness can destroy a church, can destroy a family. And it certainly can destroy our ability to be thankful. So there's our problem. How do we deal with that? How do we cope with that? How do we move past that and be better? Second point I want to make, thankfulness flows from humility. Look at this passage. Jesus is painting this picture of this Pharisee, this arrogant, prideful Pharisee that's pointing out everybody else's problems and building himself up, and yet then he paints this picture of this tax collector who was known in the culture as one of the worst of the worst sinners. But the tax collector, Jesus said, stood at a distance. He would not even, do you hear the humility in this? He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You want to be thankful. Jesus is saying, you want to be thankful? Then do that. Do that. Great theologian of the 20th century that I love reading his stuff, C.S. Lewis. He says this, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Profound to me. Profound. Thankfulness flows from humility. Thirdly, how do we learn humility? We learn humility from Christ. I mean, everything about Jesus is selflessness, humility. Jesus, he knows he's going to the cross. He knows what's coming. He knows this band of 12. Well, by the way, Judas was still at the table. Peter was still at the table. He knew what was getting ready to happen. He knew what Judas had already done. He knew what Peter would do. He knew the rest of the disciples except John would scatter. But he says, he got up from the table, he wrapped a cloth around his waist, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, which was the lowest of the low servants' duty, to wash the disciples' feet. But in humility, Jesus did it. He did it to those who would betray him, to those who would deny him. That's the challenge before us, church. It's easy to love those that love us back, isn't it? Jesus says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Selflessness in humility leads to thankfulness. One of the great chapters in all of Scripture to me is Philippians 2. If you hadn't read through Philippians 2, read Philippians 2. I'm just going to take a little bit of it here, but speaking of Jesus, Paul is writing. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. Now, he is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. He has every right to be high and exalted, but because that's who he is. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, becoming our servant in humility. Church, we can learn humility from Christ. His everything about him. If you look at his life, I challenge you to find one time that Jesus is concerned about himself. The only thing that even comes close to that I found in Scripture is when he rested, when he physically got tired, and he would go away from the crowd and he would rest and spend some time resting and being with the Lord. And I don't see that as being selfish at all. But he was looking out for his own spiritual and physical well-being. But everything else that he did, he was denying himself, and he was a servant. Man, church, do we want to be thankful? I mean, truly thankful. The kids, I love the kids. I told this at the early service. When Carlene has done that for several years on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, she has the kids line up and they come through. And most of the time, it's I'm thankful for my mommy or my daddy or my friends or school or whatever. And several years ago, I wish I could remember which child it was so I could publicly humiliate the parents right now. But they're coming through, and we had a bunch of them. I don't know, there was probably 30 or 40 kids, and they're coming through. And the very last one in the line, somebody that was there said what? Lettuce. Was it you? Oh, it was Dalton? Sam. Sam was the lettuce lover. I mean, I don't know how many years ago that was, but it was a while, and it still cracks me up. Man, if you can be thankful for lettuce, you can be thankful for anything. Just saying. And so, thankfulness flows from humility. We learn humility from Christ. And then finally, humility results in God's blessing. Listen to this passage, this parable that Jesus told. The tax collector went home justified before God, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. James 4 says it this way, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. This passage in Philippians 2, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now listen to this, therefore, do y'all, I found out that when I, for y'all who've been here a while, I've explained this several, probably 100 times. But for some of you new ones, last week I got, they were like, what do you mean, therefore? Do you know what there is therefore? And so I'll explain it again. If you ever see the word therefore in Scripture, it means to go back and read what preceded that word therefore. He's setting something up. It's kind of a if this, then this. And so he's saying in Philippians 2, he's saying to humble yourself, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because he had done those things, because Jesus had humbled himself, therefore God exalted him. That's the pattern. That's a snapshot for us. When we humble ourselves, God will exalt that. The humble are given grace by God. They're justified by God. They're exalted before God. So, church, the enemy to thankfulness is self-centeredness. The solution is keeping our eyes on Jesus. Not me, not, you know, some televangelist on TV, not anybody. I mean, keeping our eyes on Jesus. This I'm building a storage building for one of my kids, and every time I do something like that where I'm having to cut several of the same thing, I was cutting like 20-something studs the same length. And it's like, here's what happens. If you mark a stud and you cut it, and then you use the cut one to mark the next one and cut it, and then you use that one and mark the next one and cut it, guess what? By the 20th stud, you're off a quarter inch. No, you got to have the standard, the model. Larry, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? So every time I cut one, I throw it in my pile and I keep using the master. So you focus on the original, the one who's got it right. That's why we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. You know, I shared this a couple months ago in a sermon, but I just, it's too good to not share again. John Newton, the author of the great hymn, Amazing Grace, he was a slave captain, slave ship captain, horrible profession. And when he found Jesus, he obviously walked away from that profession, and he became a believer. He also became a priest, and towards the end of his life, he's in his 80s, failing health, nearly blind, but a heart transformed by Jesus. Here's what he wrote. Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. Don't you love that? Man, when we have that heart, when we have that perspective, friends, that we can be thankful. When we know that we don't somehow measure up, but Christ does, and He loves us anyway. He loves us in spite of it all. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. Friends, that is thankfulness. So as we go through not just this week, not just this Thanksgiving Day, but as we go through our life, man, let's remember that. It was our nails that Jesus took. It was the stripes upon, Scripture tells us, Isaiah tells us that by His stripes we are healed. The stripes across His back, we're healed from that. It's nothing we've done. If you would just bow your head with me as we close here. Father, forgive us for the times when we're too focused on ourselves. I just want to thank you that it's actually a privilege to love others. It's a privilege to be servants of the Most High. We have your spirit living inside of us. We have your love, the fruit of your spirit, love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. We have your fruit in us, and we are thankful for that. Let us take our eyes off of ourselves, and let us serve and love on your behalf. And Jesus, you said, if we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. Not because of anything we have done, but because you love us, and you will raise us high. Let others brag on us, Father. Let us not do that about ourselves. We love you, we praise you, and we are so thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close, if you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, he knows you and he loves you. Don't leave this place today without visiting with me about that. Again, I will be out and would love to visit with our guests as well. If you'll rise if you're able as we close.
I see you when the sun rises every morning.
unthankfulness, self-centeredness. The solution is keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the lover of our soul. Go and tell someone. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.